Chapter 18. Making fey wine from rotten grapes.
"He's awake," Zach Nefane heard as he struggled to open his eyes. His vision came into focus slowly, revealing a small figure standing over him. "Azvurf Neblin." Zach's hands went reflexively to his swords, but he relaxed when he found that he still carried them, and when a more familiar figure appeared, towering over the gnome. Zach Nefane sat up, grabbing at his throbbing head, squeezing his eyes closed for just a moment to push the pain away. When he opened the eyes, he found Jarlaxle's hand extended toward him to help him up.
"Noxious gas," Zach mumbled.
"And a fair thump in the head, I expect, given the lump rising beside your left eye," Jarlaxle replied in undercommon and not drow. Zach took the hand and pulled himself to his feet, unsteady for only a moment. He looked around at the floor, which was still smoking with dissipated demonic goo.
"It was no drow priestess, I think we can agree," Jarlaxle remarked.
Zach looked about, replaying the fight. He looked at Jarlaxle when he answered, though, wanting to gauge the mercenary's response.
"Yuklul."
Zach didn't miss the shadow that passed over Jarlaxle's face. He had expected the answer, Zach realized, but the confirmation swatted him hard.
"The Hunsrins were the Yokul. What does it mean?"
"I do not know," Jarlaxle admitted, the words he most hated saying. Zach Nefane looked past Jarlaxle then, to note a man sitting against the wall farther along. The fellow he had gut-stabbed, he realized.
"Did you tend to him?"
"Of course. I give you Intarn Viel."
"Intarn Viel Hunsrin," Zach said.
"Not necessarily," Jarlaxle said with a wry grin, one that Zach had seen so many times before. "Can I trust you not to kill him while I bring this gnome home to his burrow warden?"
"Good question."
"He didn't kill you as you lay there," Jarlaxle explained. "He could have."
Zach stared at Jarlaxle, then at the wounded Hunsrin.
"Good," said Jarlaxle, as if that answered that. "I'll return presently, and if not, well, run."
Zach nodded, his thoughts still back on his battle with the handmaiden and on what was left of the demonic creature. He had destroyed a handmaiden of Loth, or had done as much as one could against such a creature of the lower planes while on this plane of existence. He tried not to think of the implications.
"He's not lying," Simvin insisted to Burrow Warden Belwar. "He saved me, and the damned drow fought the other damned drow."
"It amazes me, I tell you, that any of the damned drow are still alive," Belwar Dizengulp replied. "Their blades are bloody more than their lips are wet."
"But this one saved me, and he wasn't alone," Simvin insisted.
"Saved you from yourself, you mean?"
Simvin shuffled nervously from foot to foot.
"Aye," he admitted.
"Come on, then," Belwar invited him, and led him into the entry foyer of the multi-chambered cave Belwar had taken as both office and home.
In there, the strange drow with the wide-brimmed hat and the uncomfortably easy way about him, reclined on a rock, hands behind his head, legs crossed at the ankles, showcasing a remarkable pair of high, hard-soled black boots. More remarkable to Belwar because all the reports of this one's entrance into Dun Arrandir spoke of the absolute silence of his movements.
"Do not be too hard on Master Simvin," the drow said, rolling from the stone to stand. "It was not his choice to betray you. It was never his choice. The enemies who found him coerced him with magic, not with promises of personal enrichment. Surely you cannot hold poor Master Simvin responsible for that."
"You're asking me to believe all that happened out front," Belwar replied. "I'm old enough to know that believing a drow is a risky proposition."
"My associate freed him of the magical domination," Jarlaxle said.
"You intervened right when we came to know that Simvin was the one selling us out to the drow, stealing our ore and selling it."
"He was doing much more than that," Jarlaxle answered, and he looked to Simvin, who was shaking his head. Tell him, or I will.
It is nothing, the clearly nervous gnome said.
It is everything to... Jarlaxle looked to Belwar. What did you call it? Dunarandor?
What are you saying? Belwar asked in low and even tones, then to Simvin. What's he saying?
Simvin took a long, deep breath.
I don't know how much I gave them, he admitted. Not much. I wouldn't. They were going to kill me.
And?
I wouldn't do it.
He held out, and they were going to make him pay dearly for that, most assuredly, Jarlaxle interjected. They wanted him to betray you in more than stealing your ore.
Ain't that enough? Belwar asked.
It wasn't his choice, Jarlaxle reiterated. He was under magical domination, but when they asked for more...
They wanted our guards and wards, our sentry posts, Simvin admitted. When I couldn't get them enough ore, they decided to come in and take it and kill you all, but I said no.
He did, Jarlaxle added.
And they'd have killed me, Simbin pleaded.
No, they wouldn't, Jarlaxle surprised him in Belwar by saying. They would have tortured you until you told them what they wanted.
Then killed him,
Belwar reasoned, nodding. He put a hand on Simbin's shoulder comfortingly, his demeanor clearly softening here. Probably not, Jarlaxle said, surprising them both again. Simvin knows the secret to refining the Arandir, correct? Jarlaxle asked, then laughed when Borough Warden Belwar's expression became overtly suspicious. It does not matter to me, Jarlaxle said, holding his hands up defensively. But it should matter to you. I suspect that Simvin knows because they chose him, and they would need someone with that skill. I tell you now, Borough Warden Belwar, your charges with whom you should be most diligent and careful in protecting are those who know the secret, because that is as valuable as the ore. Belwar continued to eye the strange drow skeptically. My duty here is done, Jarlaxle announced. I could not let this hold for Simbin's sake, for your sake, and that of all Dunarandor, and yes, for my own sake. My interests in strengthening my relationship with you here, and with Blingdenstone, are indeed partly selfish. That I admit openly.
It's not my place to start any relationship with a drow, Belwar replied evenly.
Agreed, Jarlaxle said. He smiled and bowed low then, sweeping off his great hat. He didn't put the distracting chapeau back on as he stood, and pointed to his bald head as he added, I will speak with King Schnicktick when the time is right. I thank you, most honorable Borough Warden, and with your permission I take my leave.
Belwar's jaw drooped, and he stared hard at Jarlaxle, the hint of recognition belying his stoic demeanor. Why am I thinking that you're leaving with or without my permission?
I prefer to have it, Jarlaxle replied. Yeah. Belwar conceded.
Zaknafane approached the Doerden complex tentatively. More than once, he glanced to the northwest and the nearest major exit from the cavern of Menzo Berenzon. More than once, he thought of just throwing his hands up in defeat and fleeing, running far, far from this place and never looking back. He let his gaze move farther west, out toward the Brayrin and the Oozing Myconid, wondering if he would ever see the place again. Jarlaxle had kicked him out of Bregan D'Earth. The mercenary leader had told Zack to return to Matron Malice, had taken his refuge, and had even taken back the magical whip. Zack had wanted to argue, but he couldn't. He had been waiting in the Oozing Myconid impatiently when Jarlaxle had returned from his business this day. Zack knew where he had gone. Or where else could he have found the answers he needed? He had gone to see Matron Mother Bayenri, and she had no doubt warned him to lose no further favor with the Spider Queen. Zaknafane Doerden had killed a handmaiden, and so his time with Bregan D'Earth had come to an end. He wondered if his time period had come to an end. He looked to the northwest, the exit. The gate was closed to him, emotionally if not mentally, he realized to his great despair. It was too late. His only refuge had been the moments with Brigandiers, and now Zaknafane knew, correctly, that years would pass before he even had a chance to speak with Jarlaxle once more, if he lived that long. He looked to the northwest, the exit, one last time, the weight of finality bowing his shoulders. Then Zaknafane strengthened and thought of his son, not yet wholly ruined. Running was not an option. He went into House Dilwerden, determined only to protect his son from the misery of the Lothian drow. "His temper runs too hot for any who wear the robes of the Spider Queen," Dabney Trayrock said to Jarlaxle when she found him sitting alone at a table in the tavern. "He can't control himself. It drives him to pure rage."
"He hasn't killed you yet."
"I haven't threatened him or tried to enter his mind with magical domination," she answered.
"You prefer other wiles, I know," Jarlaxle quipped.
Dabney laughed. "Zaknafane is a good man. Too good for this life we have made in Menzo Baranzon." Jarlaxle looked up at her, his face suddenly impassive.
"Who?
Za—" she started to repeat before she caught on to Jarlaxle's true meaning here. Zaknafane was gone, was no more of Brigandiers, and therefore was no more of Jarlaxle's concern. Dabney studied the inscrutable rogue for a long while then, trying to find some hint of what she knew to be true. Jarlaxle was hurting. Zaknafane was as close as he had ever known to being his friend. "For all of your posturing, my friend," she dared to whisper, bending low. "For all of your achievements in cunning and amazing organization, you remain a prisoner here like all the rest of us. I feel your pain profoundly." Dabney kissed Jarlaxle on the cheek and moved away, glancing back once or twice at the stone-faced mercenary. He wouldn't give her any indication of agreement, wouldn't show anyone this personal pain, of course not. For in Lothian drow society, emotional attachment was weakness, and weakness led to disaster and demise. But Dabney had been with the mercenary band for a long time now, though she was more removed now than in years past, spending more time in the Using Myconid with another of her fallen house's survivors, Harbendare, even helping him to run the establishment, and using her divine powers to ferret out poison, at least that aimed at those Jarlaxle did not wish dead. She hadn't been involved in the day-to-day excursions and web-weaving of Brigandiers proper for years, nor had she even heard the name of Zaknafane in months and months, until he had arrived to again adventure beside Jarlaxle. She winced as she considered that, for when she had heard, a part of her hoped that he would be spending more time in the tavern, more time around her. She missed him, missed his touch. She focused on Jarlaxle's impassive expression and gave a knowing little smile. He missed Zack more than she. She had missed the weapon master, had felt a thrill when he had come back into the fold of Brigandiers after so many months away. But it was nothing compared to what Jarlaxle felt for him. In every way but physical, his relationship with Zaknafane was more intimate than hers had ever been. He had done as he had been instructed to do, with no room for interpretation, and it was wounding him profoundly.